Hello and welcome to the Emmy Awards. I'm your host, Emmy Cardinale, and this is my podcast where I talk about what I've been watching or rewatching once a week. If this is the first episode of mine that you stumble upon and you enjoy it, please feel free to follow me wherever you listen to podcasts so you can get notified when I upload a new episode. And subscribe to me on YouTube if you're listening to this on YouTube. Rate and review, share with a friend. Do anything you would want to do to help the podcast out. It would mean a lot. Honestly, just listening means a lot to me, so thanks for tuning in. Really does mean a lot. I appreciate everybody who listens and tells me they listen, doesn't tell me they listen. It means a lot. So thank you so much to anybody watching and supporting the podcast. This is going to be a continuation of my Bachelor Pad coverage. I do anticipate this episode going out like Wednesday. At this point, I think Wednesday is my release date for now. Tuesdays, Wednesdays are kind of where I've been falling lately. I know I say this every week, but I meant for this episode to go out, like, I meant to record it earlier, but I had a weird weekend last week. I normally have Wednesdays and Thursdays off, but I had Wednesday off, and then I worked Thursday, and then I had Sunday off, so I'm kind of, like, all over the place. So I didn't have, like, 2 days back-to-back, so kind of threw me out of whack, but this is a regular week for me. The episode should be out Wednesday at the latest. Maybe I could get it out Tuesday night, but no promises, because I am recording this on Monday, so I don't know how much I'll get done. I have to be up early Wednesday for my foster kittens. I'm dropping them off for their surgeries, and that's early in the morning. So I'm going to be up early Wednesday anyway, and I'll finish the editing then if I need to. Like, if it's not done by Tuesday night, I should have it out by, like, Wednesday afternoon, evening at the latest, because I have all of Wednesday, and I'm going to be up early, so. Anyways, jumping straight into my Bachelor Pad coverage, the last place we left off, Jackie went home and Ames joined her, and that was it, because only a woman went home that week. So episode 3 picks up after the rose ceremony. It was an emotional night. They're all, like, very emotional. Kirk says everything. Kirk is very much a colorful narrator. Like, he is kind of, not always, but this is, like, a role in the Bachelor franchise where they pick people who, like, maybe they're not, like, the protagonists in other regards. Like, maybe they are not the person the lead is going to end up with. Maybe they're not, like, the person that they're hoping to be the next lead. But it's, like, a role you can play in the Bachelor franchise. I personally think that if I were to ever go on the show, my aim would be to be a colorful narrator. Like, would I, if I cared for the lead, like, if I had a chemistry, would I obviously be pursuing them as well? Yes, but I think my goal would to be this person, like, who narrates things. Because then that would just mean that they thought that I was funny and they, like, that I performed well for the camera in that regard. Some people on The Bachelor don't, like, they're very quiet, they're very awkward on camera, or that's just not their strong suit, that's not the role they're playing. Anyways, Kirk says everything is changing really fast. Right now everyone views Vienna and Casey, Michelle and Graham, Holly and Michael as power couples, but the power could shift and somebody in that power alliance could go home. He says he noticed that Holly and Blake have been flirting. That's a dynamic that continues because Holly's ex is here, Michael. They are partnered up in the game and they were previously engaged. Holly, however, was flirting with Blake. That really hasn't, as of episode 2, that really was mostly an issue for Blake because Blake had been partnered up with Melissa purely strategically, as he said in the ITMs. He was not interested in her at all, but he likes Holly, so that's, like, something that is going to continue. He didn't think much of it. He noticed Holly and Blake flirting, but he didn't think much of it until Melissa got upset about it. Kirk says having a partner who is slightly crazy can get you in trouble. So Melissa being kind of a liability for Blake comes up. And, like, the thing is, I'll get into this more as we explore more of the Melissa dynamic, but it really does kind of bother me a little bit that a man, Blake, like, leads a woman, Melissa, on and is literally like, I'm not attracted to her. I'm going to pursue her solely because I need a rose right now. And obviously, like, I don't know how the audience received it, but it really does just suck. And later, Michelle kind of narrates some of it, and I think she does so really eloquently by being very much like, I guess I'll get into it, but I really liked Michelle's perspective. I think I would be a little bit more charitable towards Melissa, but Michelle very much, when she talks about it later, is like, Blake led her on, and maybe Melissa's too emotional to be here. I think there's a solid middle ground, but it does just bother me that it's like he leads her on, he messes with her, and then the narrative is Melissa's crazy. The men start wars, yet Troy hates Helen. You know, this is the second time I've quoted Maisie Peters in a Bachelor Pad recap, and specifically regarding the Blake-Melissa dynamic. Anyways, Blake and Melissa talk. He says in ITMs that it was a wake-up call because having somebody like that mad at you can be dangerous in the game. And it was very much giving last season of Bachelor Pad when Kovacs was not super down to be like official with Elizabeth. But then he realized that Elizabeth being against him could like harm his game because she could talk to the women, and because the women vote out the men, which I think is a really interesting dynamic in this game, because there are a few bro ceremonies where everybody votes for a man or everybody votes for a woman. But in a standard elimination, the men vote off the women, and the women vote off the men. So you can't like rely on like all of your boys having your back if all of the women hate you, which I think is really interesting. So it was really giving that Kovacs appeasing Elizabeth so she wouldn't badmouth him vibe to me. He says that when one girl, he says this in ITMs, that when one girl is upset, all the girls rally around her, and being the person who pissed that woman off is like suicide in the game. He says Jake being there currently is his saving grace because Jake is kind of a shield. Like, he is somebody who will go before you because of the whole Vienna Casey dynamic. The women are definitely turning on Blake, though, because he's being an asshole to Melissa. Casey does not want Jake to win the competition. Every ITM of Casey's is about how much he hates Jake and how much he doesn't want Jake to win. And everything is about Jake. Like, okay, we get it. You're like weirdly obsessed with Jake for some reason. Okay, it's hard for me because, and I said this last week, and this batch of episodes just like validated it for me. Casey's disdain towards what's his name? Jake. Was it giving like, oh, this person wronged somebody I cared about and I'm mad on their behalf? I've been there. This was giving like a weird, it was less like this man hurt my girlfriend I care about and more like this is my girlfriend's ex kind of possessive attitude. That's the way it feels. Because honestly, it's very self-focused. He does not want Jake to win the competition. Him. It's always about how he feels having Jake around. If I was in a house like this with, say I was dating somebody and their ex who they had told me did all these horrible things to them that Vienna accuses Jake of doing. If that was my partner, I would be like, I really want Jake to go home because of how much it's upsetting Vienna. Like, it's really hurting me to see her in such distress about Vienna. That's not the attitude. It feels like he wants to win. He wants to beat Jake in some invisible competition. Like, it does not give, and not even invisible, in like the actual competitions in order to like prove a superiority. It doesn't feel like he cares that Jake is here because it's upsetting Vienna. It's because that's his girlfriend's ex-boyfriend or ex-fiance. Like, that's the attitude it gives. Maybe I'm crazy, but I do not think I am. I think I have very good discernment. There are very few people in my life who I have had a bad feeling about and then like I'm not proven right. Sorry. There are a few people though, I will say, if you did the math, there probably are more people who like I gave a chance to who then turned out to harm me, but I don't know. Well, let me keep going. Maybe I don't have good discernment. The next day, Chris Harrison comes in. He tells them to go to the pool for the competition. Jake and ITMs list the things he's good at. He has physical strength. He's good at problem solving, etc. And we find out it's a synchronized swimming competition, and they will be judged on technical ability, effort, and most important, showmanship. That's how they say it. Most important is showmanship. The best man and women each get a rose. So the women are all doing a synchronized swim together, and then the men are doing one, and within those groups, people vote on who's the best and things like that. Michelle in ITM says she thinks Melissa and Holly have an advantage because they were both cheerleaders, and that involves like coordination, dancing, learning routines, etc. Blake's worst case scenario is Jake winning safety because then he is the easy person to vote out. Then we see them learn their routines. Erica can't dive, and she says in ITMs that the closest she's come to synchronized swimming is laying by the pool. Jake in ITM says the person to beat is Michael because he choreographs dances. So he just needs to be better than Michael in his head. The judges are gold medal champion Karen Rozlowski. I wrote her name, how they spelled it, but I completely forgot how to pronounce it. And then the two winners from Bachelor Pad Season 1, Dave and Natalie. The girls go first. Vienna thinks she's going to win. She's very confident about winning. The boys go next. Casey doesn't care who wins as long as it's not Jake. And I will say, as much as I don't like Casey, and I'm not, and he says some stuff later that really pisses me off, and I'm like not trying to give him the benefit of the doubt because I think that this isn't somewhat of an accurate version of him. I think some of the things he says later to Vienna, which I will get into, I don't think that's like, do I think these environments bring out bad versions of people? And do I think in the decades since this aired, he could have changed and been a better person? Yes, but I also just don't, and I'm not judging him based solely on that, but it's just like, there are too many data points to like point to Casey being somewhat problematic or like not the best partner, somebody I would want to be in a relationship with, for me to be like, oh, I think it's just the editing. But I will say, as much as I comment on the amount of times he talks about Jake, I can acknowledge that that is chosen. He may have talked about a lot of various other things as well, but the only things they show are him talking about Jake. So I do want to acknowledge that because I recognize that is a possibility. Casey doesn't care who wins as long as it's not Jake. Erica is rooting for Jake to win, however, because I really think Erica wants to topple the Casey-Vienna, like, dynamic. I think, I really hope she does. If Erica goes before Vienna and Casey do, or at least if one of them does, I think I'll cry. But I'll get to that. Anyways, they judge the men first. Natalie says Jake stood out to her. Then Dave says Kirk stood out to him. And Karen announces that the winner is Michael after all. Dave says Vienna did really well, and then Natalie says Holly did really well, and Karen announces that the winner came down to artistic expression, the razzle-dazzle, if you will, and they picked Michelle. So the winners are Michelle for the girls and Michael for the boys. This is also Michael's second, like, competition win, so he's really dominating, and I really like Michael. I was talking to my sister after I watched the first batch of episodes, and she said, who are you rooting for? And I said, honestly, I'm not rooting for anybody. I just don't want Casey or Vienna to win because, like, it really feels like when you're watching a season of Big Brother and there's, like, a dominating alliance and it's, like, annoying because it's, like, enough, enough. But honestly, I don't know if this is better or worse. They're not winning the competitions. They just have this weird level of power that doesn't make any sense to me because they don't seem that charismatic or likable. Maybe it's the editing. Maybe people liked them a lot more because I feel like they wouldn't have kept saving them if they didn't like them. But, like, I feel like we get a lot of ITMs of people being, like, I don't like the way Casey said that, or Vienna is, like, it's mostly Casey, but, like, I don't know, maybe that's just they're setting that up in editing for a potential Casey and Vienna elimination, or for a potential if they're in the finals for them, like, I don't know, maybe they're setting that up, maybe there's something to that, but I really find their control over the game kind of confusing. Anyways, let me keep going. Michael is doing really well though. Like, I like Michael because I think he's playing strategically, but he also has, like, a good amount of heart and care for the people in the house. Like, last week when he won the egg throwing competition, he took Erica on the date because he felt bad that all the guys were targeting her in the throwing of the eggs. He seems like a nice guy, and I do genuinely like. And his story with Holly is so compelling because the emotions feel so real. Like, it feels very real to me, very raw in a way that I feel like sometimes gets lost in The Bachelor, where a lot of things are just overproduced and manufactured. This felt really, really real. Anyways, let me keep going. Michael and Michelle each get a date, and three people join them on their dates. And then on that, they narrow it down to one person and give out a rose. Erica wants to partner up with Jake. He wants to get Casey out, and she's on board with that. Casey says Vienna is being too nice to Jake. His plan coming into the house was to get everyone to turn on Jake, and it worked, but now Jake is getting people on his side, and he's mad that Vienna is going, he's mad Vienna isn't going with their plan, and I don't like him. Like, Vienna simply said good job in the competition, and Casey, like, got so angry. That is not giving concerned boyfriend about somebody who hurt you. It's not. It's not. I'm sorry. It's not. Maybe I have experience and I know people and I'm, that was such a big statement, but it's like, I know people in my life who I care about this deeply, who I would be like upset that they have to be around people who hurt them. And if I saw them like being nice to that person very quickly because we were like forced to be in an environment with them, I wouldn't be like, how dare you? Like, you're not actually upset about it. You're ruining my plan. It's weird. It's weird. I really don't like him. Vienna and Casey's conflict is beginning to bother people. Vienna gets upset. She says she's not happy with Jake here either. She's just trying to be cordial. And Casey then says, do you want another public breakup on TV? I really don't like him. I really don't like him. Casey in ITM says Vienna calls Jake a fame whore, but she's more of a fame whore. He loves her more than anything. This was said off base, but she's screwing things up. They fight in private now. He says he knows she feels Jake emotionally abused her, but that was a year ago and she should get over it. He says, do you know how much I've gone through? Do you know how hard this is for me? I really hate him. I'm sorry. I really cannot stand him. He calls her crazy. He tells her that she needs to go out and put on a pretend face and act like they're okay and they've resolved things. And then we find out in ITMs that he's upset because she said good job to Jake about the competition. I really cannot stand him. I can't stand him. I can't stand him. This really feels like it just proves my point that Casey does not care about Vienna having to be around Jake because he cares about her feelings. It's this weird possessive jealousy of, I don't want to be around my girlfriend's ex-fiance. It really has nothing to do with Vienna. It's all about his feelings and how he feels. And the fact that he has the nerve to say, I know you feel like he emotionally abused you, but it was a year ago and you should get over it. I literally was like, that's it. I need him gone tomorrow. I'm getting his suitcase. Like, we're getting him out of here. We're getting him out of here if it's the last thing I do. If Casey wins this season, I will do something so drastic. I'm not even kidding. I don't think he'll win. Like, I think even if they get to the end, I don't think there'll be the couple that's voted, but I don't know. I don't know. I can't do it anymore. He's on my last nerve.
I would like to apologize that the sound is a little bit different. I took a few hours break in between because I'm recording this on a day I have work and I started on my dinner break and then I had to go back to work. So I'm finishing after work. Anyways, I believe I left off with the Casey and Vienna fight and me saying I do not like him and that he sucks. So anyways, Michelle's date card comes first because I don't have to repeat myself. It hasn't been a few hours for you. Michelle's date card comes first. Blake really wants to go on the date so he can get the rose. Michelle chooses Graham, Casey, and Blake. She's partnered up with Graham, as I said earlier, during Kirk's colorful narration little segment. Her partner right now in the game is Graham. They don't have official partners and then you have to vote together. Like in the end of Bachelor Pad season one, you are voted off as a couple. Right now, that's not what it is, but most people have some kind of a partner and Michelle is Graham's. Some of them don't really have partners, but Michelle does. Anyways, her date is at a vineyard. She speaks one-on-one to Blake first to ask about Melissa, and she tells him Melissa's really hurt and he needs to make things right, and it's in his hands now. Like, she's kind of basically like, I'm not gonna give you a rose, I know you're in danger, but like, you need to make things right with Melissa. And she literally says to him, like, I'm not saying lead her on, I'm not saying don't be genuine, just make amends, make things right, apologize. Like, she tries to be like, hey, you're being an asshole, fix it. She doesn't say it like that. She says it much nicer, but I really like Michelle. I think she's one of my favorite women on this season. Michael's date, back at the mansion, Michael's date card arrives. Holly does not want to be asked on the date because things are awkward between them. And I really feel for Holly. I feel for both of them because they're in really interesting situations, because from the extent we know of the relationship, he proposed to her, she broke it off. Things felt weird to her, but then she wanted to make it work. And then he, like, it seems like there's a lot of pain there. Like, I feel for both of them because Holly's kind of like, he broke up with me. I was trying to make it work again. Like, I wanted to be with him. I don't know what happened. And Michael's kind of like, she broke off this engagement. I don't really know. Like, they're both coming from really, really interesting perspectives in this breakup because it's not really like a clean, like, she broke up with me, I broke up with her, because it kind of both ended things at different times in different ways. Like, it's just, I feel for them. So Holly kind of like doesn't want to be asked on the date because she doesn't want to be put in that position. He ends up asking Vienna because she hasn't been out of the house yet, Ella because she also hasn't been out of the house yet, and Holly because he enjoys spending time with Holly. He says in ITMs that game-wise, it's an easy choice, but personally, it's really hard choosing Holly, he means. And this was kind of, I said earlier that I really like Michael, and I think he is good at the competitions, but he also does things, like, strategically and very much, like, strategically in, like, a human connection way. Like, I think he's good at the competitions, but he's also, like, really good at connecting with people and making decisions based on, like, just being a nice person that then I think translates to game, because this is smart. Like, choosing people who haven't gotten to get out of the house yet to go on dates. He knows he's going to give the rose to Holly. Like, let's be real. He needs two other people, so he picks people who haven't been out of the house. I think that's really smart. Back on Michelle's date, Casey says he's glad to have gotten out of the house, needed a distraction. He's really going through it, Casey. I said that sarcastically, okay? I'm not trying, like, the thing is, it's hard for me because I'm like, I'm sure it's unpleasant for you, but, like, it's got to be more unpleasant for Vienna, and why are you making it all about you? Anyways, then Michelle and Graham have a conversation. She likes him but doesn't know how he feels about her. She says she's interested in him, but is really aware that timing is important, wants him to feel comfortable with her. And he says he does, but sharing something he doesn't feel good about sharing isn't easy for him. I don't really know what he meant by that. Like, does he mean opening up about his past? Does he mean just, like, sharing that part of him in, like, being in a relationship? I really did not know what he meant by that. Maybe there's some kind of backstory of Graham's that I'm missing, but I really didn't know what he meant by that. Michelle in ITM says that he seems closed off. And I agree. I agree. Kirk continues his narration and says the power couples may be in danger. And then Michael, on Michael's date, he tells the women they shouldn't talk strategy during the date, which should be fine since they're all aligned. He's like, let's not talk strategy. We don't really need to anyway because we're all aligned. Holly is having a hard time spending this much time with Michael because it's really messing with her head. Like, she's really conflicted emotionally because obviously she likes spending time with him, but it's all like there's weight to all of it. The date is horseback riding, and Vienna is complaining throughout the whole thing. She is not having a good time, and she's being very vocal about it. And I really, the loyalty these people have to Vienna and Casey is really, really confusing to me. And again, maybe it's all editing. Maybe 90% of the time they were lovely. But I really don't understand. Vienna even, I think, is less of an aggressor than Casey because Casey is insufferable. But, like, I really just don't understand why they seem to dominate so much. But again, maybe they're editing it that way so their eventual elimination makes sense. Because this was not edited in real time, like a season of Big Brother is. Like, most reality TV shows are not edited in real time. I think there's only a handful that, like, air the same at the same time that they're being recorded. So they edited it knowing the outcome of everything. So maybe that's why it feels, like, confusing that they're sticking with Vianna and Casey. Maybe that will be revealed to us. Anyways, Ella says in ITMs that everyone's on edge because of Casey and Vianna, and the only thing that would change the game right now is getting them out. We've been hearing this for, like, two episodes. Like, I swear to God, they said that already. Like, have they not been, like, getting them out? I guess Erica was saying that last week, now Ella's saying that, but, like, when are they gonna get them out? Anyways, Blake, back at the mansion, decides to try to make amends with Melissa. In ITMs, he says, Melissa had so many outbursts, and my position in this game has become extremely precarious only because this shrew of a bitch was just going around screaming, "You can't trust this guy, he's terrible." I mean, she's a nutcase. Like, stop being such an asshole. Like, whatever. 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 I have, like, mixed feelings on the Blake and Melissa dynamic because I think she is a very emotional person. And I do think that there are moments that she doesn't communicate the best or, like, regulate her emotions the best. That's also easier said than done from the comfort of my own home. It's very different when you're, like, sleep-deprived in a really stressful environment. You're being poked and prodded and all those things by producers. Like, obviously, I try to have grace for people on the show, again, to an extent, because I don't think any amount of sleep deprivation would make me say, I know that you were emotionally abused, but, like, it's been a year, get over it. Like, there are lines for me. Melissa just seems emotional. She doesn't seem that malicious. They're malicious. There are times where she says some things that are, like, a little harsh. But it's really not, like, I don't know. But I also just really do not like a man leading a woman on and then calling her crazy. Yes, she is a little emotional. I think it's kind of a natural human emotion. Obviously, some people have express their emotions in bigger ways than other people do. But I think the natural human emotion of feeling betrayed and confused and led on and angry, I think that's normal. I don't think she's like a shrew of a bitch, as he called her, because he's betraying her in this game and she's telling people, hey, he's betraying me in this game. All she did was call it like she saw it. Like, she's not accusing you of doing anything you didn't do. Like, that's part of the game. Like, if you want to deceive and manipulate and, like, lie, okay, but then you can't be like, she's crazy for calling me a liar when you lied to her. Anyways, after he says because Michelle told him he needs to make amends, he says all he can do is approach Melissa, talk to her, and pretend to be interested again because this is about the money. Mind you, Michelle said, don't lead her on, just be honest, blah, 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 blah. So anyways, they talk. He says he was clueless. He's like, how do you know I don't want the same things you do? She says he didn't act like he did, and she apologizes to him for bringing the game into it. It's awkward for her because she did have a crush on him, asks if he wants to partner back up, and he says yes. He says in ITMs that the only way to keep her level-headed is to give her what she wants. He needs to be calculated, give her something, but not enough. Purely a strategic game relationship, but enough to, like, appease her, basically, is his game move. On the date, Ella asks Vieta about Holly and Michael's relationship and she kind of debriefs, shares, like, what we as an audience already know. Holly and Michael, meanwhile, are having a conversation, and she says he's been friendly and asks about what that means for their dynamic, and he says it's been really good to be around her. He missed her before, and she's kind of like, I don't know if the way you're acting around me is just because we're in this house and we're together all the time, or if, like, you still, like, she's like, did you miss me before, or do you just miss me now because I'm here? And he's like, no, I did miss you before. It's not just because you're here now. And she says it's weird because she constantly wants to touch him and go back to the way they were. He says she looks beautiful, and he sees her, and every time he sees her, he thinks about how beautiful she is. She says in ITMs they've been through so much. They fight and get back together. Deep down, she doesn't think they're supposed to be together because she doesn't think relationships should be this hard. It's really emotional. Like, you can tell there are two people who care very deeply and have a deep connection, but maybe they are not the most compatible for a long-term relationship. Like, I think that's one of the hard part about relationships, is that on paper, things can be good. And in reality, you guys can have a great relationship and you can care so deeply. But sometimes there's just something missing, something that you can't explain. And it doesn't mean that anybody did anything wrong. It's just not right. And I think Michael and Holly are a really good example of that. I don't know if they get back together and they last. Like, I'm not trying to comment on that, but right now where they are, it seems like there's just a disconnect, and they're upset that it's there because they care about each other so much. Anyways, back at the mansion, Casey says, and this is a direct quote, I wrote this down, this has been really hard for me. There's so much tension and stress. People don't realize, like, the struggles, the inner struggles that I go through on a daily basis. Like, we get it. We get it. This whole thing is hard on you, specifically. You're the one who's the victim here. He really pisses me off. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not saying that it isn't difficult. But, like, read the room. Have some compassion. As difficult as it is for you, imagine how Vienna feels. I don't know. I don't like him. I will say, though, that's kind of a banger of a quote. People don't realize, like, the struggles, the inner struggles that I go through on a daily basis. Me too, Casey. But not for the same reasons you're going through. Anyways, the guys talk about the money. Jake kind of begins to attempt to rally boats to get Vienna and Casey out. He knows it's a long shot, but he's not going down without a fight. He says that people keeping Vienna and Casey safe are not playing the game. They're playing stupid, which I agree, because why are they being loyal to them? Like, they're going to vote you off eventually. I agree. Jake and Erica then talk strategy. She's tired of Vienna and Casey running the game, using people as pawns. She also says it would be fun to go on a date. She's very much gaming, but also kind of flirting with him. She says in ITMs, people have to look after themselves. She's not going to hand a couple $250,000. She says Jake would be the best person to partner up with because he's athletic, smart, and also handsome. He says in ITMs that Erica was on board, but he was willing to do whatever to be safe during the elimination. And then he kisses Erica. She wants them to be a power couple. In that ITM, it's kind of implied that, like, he kissed Erica in order to, like, seal the deal. I don't know if that's what he meant, but, like, I'm always kind of wary with ITMs because it wasn't all said, like, on, like, I don't know. Things are cut together. And I don't know. If he did, I don't really care one way or the other. Anyways, I really don't like Jake, but that wouldn't be, like, the worst thing he's done. So I really don't care. Anyways, I think things like that, kissing for strategy, like, that is a little bit different to me because as much as I don't like Jake, I think it's also, like, you need to know the person. Like, Blake kissed Melissa, like, let her on, said all these things to her. That's not the same as kissing somebody once and not really having, like, I think Blake took it a little bit too far. And he also, like, you need to know who you are engaging with. If Blake did that to Erica, he'd have a different reaction because Erica is a different human being and has different emotional reactions and different, like, game approaches than Melissa does. I think Blake, it's just shitty gameplay because he's leading somebody on who is not, like, there to think about it as a game. Like, you have to know who you're playing to. And I think, and he also just did it so sloppily. Like, you can have some kind of, I don't know, be kind of wishy-washy, be kind of in and out, breadcrumb, don't give too much. He would, like, overpromise and then super underdeliver and then be like, hey, why are you upset? He's handling it horribly. Anyways, back on the date, Michael gives Holly the rose and they get the second portion of the date together. Brett Michael's tour bus pulls up and he asks them about their relationship. He sings to them. He's really nice. I don't know if he sucks. Like, I know nothing about this man. So if he's, like, a horrible person, I don't know. But he was nice in this scene. I know nothing about Brett Michaels. I do not condone any behavior he has or has not done. I literally know nothing of the man. He could also be a lovely person. He could also be the worst person ever. I genuinely know nothing of him. Anyways, back at the mansion, tonight is Casey and Vienna's 6-month anniversary. He has a gift for her and she says she doesn't want it to be an engagement ring. He's like, why would you say it like that? And then it's a promise ring. But he says she killed the moment. Like, it's things like that where it's like, he just doesn't seem very nice to her. I don't like him. Like, he's so, I really don't like him. Like, maybe she shouldn't have been like, I hope it's not an engagement ring. But for him to be like, why would you say it like that? Like, get mad and then be like, you killed the moment. Like, just let it, like, I don't like him. In ITMs, he says that she treated him like crap, brings up Jake and how hard it is for Jake, for him to be there with Jake and, like, how Jake being in the house, blah, 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 blah. Then he sings to her. I really don't care. Erica wants Jake to stay and be her partner, so she's strategizing to keep him safe. She says to Kirk and Holly that he's a person that can be voted out later And Kirk says they've talked about Melissa and Jake going this week. Jake and Melissa are in the hot tub together, and Erica is upset about that in her ITMs. Erica in ITM says, I can't trust Melissa as far as I can throw her. And even though she's really tiny, that wouldn't be very far. Then Erica eavesdrops on Jake and Melissa in the hot tub. And Erica then reports back to Vienna and tells Vienna that Melissa is buttering Jake up to talk strategy. And Vienna in ITM says that if Melissa pairs up with Jake, she'll no longer be part of her alliance because Jake will not be part of her alliance. So this just further turns people against Melissa. Erica wants Melissa out. She says it's nothing personal. She just wants people to think Melissa is a loose cannon, so people will want Melissa out. Melissa talks to Michael and makes her case for why she should stay. He tells her that Erica said she was going to be teaming up with Jake, so she now needs to talk. So now she decides she needs to talk to Erica. Meanwhile, Erica is eavesdropping on this conversation of Melissa and Michael, and she says in ITMs that finally the moment she's been waiting for is here. Crazy Melissa is out. Melissa then gets emotional to Michael about Erica scheming. Melissa confronts Erica, says that Erica is the one that's been wanting to work with Jake, not her. Erica tells Michelle that Melissa is off her rocker. Then Erica, Melissa, Casey, and Michelle gather to talk. Melissa is mad at Erica. Erica says she told them that Melissa and Jake were out in the hot tub, and she just shared what she heard them saying. Melissa says they should bring Jake out to further address this. And Melissa really just throughout this whole thing does not handle things well. She digs herself a deeper hole. She needed to be calm and be like, that's not true. I have no allegiance to Jake. I'll do what you want. But she was so emotionally invested. And again, part of me can't really blame her because her emotions are being played with. I don't know. I really do not think Melissa was prepared enough for the cutthroat game aspect of it. I think she thought she would go on and it would be a dating show primarily. I would really be interested in watching her on her original season to see how emotional she was. If this was a bachelor pad specific thing and Blake brought this out of her, or if Melissa was always kind of emotional and the general environment of the Bachelor franchise is not really meant for her. I don't really know. Casey in ITM says Melissa is batshit crazy. He cites that she was shaking, which just pissed me off because it's I guess showing any kind of emotion means you're crazy. She's not crazy. She's emotional. She's a very emotional person. Crazy is a bit much. I don't even like using the word crazy, but nothing she said indicated that at all. She's just emotional. The fact that she was shaking, that just means she's emotional. Maybe if you had some kind of empathy and compassion for people, you wouldn't think them being emotional meant that they were unstable. Anyways, Erica tells Melissa that people want her out because she's causing drama, not because there's any conspiring going on. She tells her that the only way she'll change is if she takes responsibility for her own actions. Erica isn't the one going off a rocker constantly. Michelle in ITM says she questions if Melissa is emotionally stable enough to handle the pressure here. And I do kind of agree. I don't know if stable is the word I would use, but regulated. I don't think Melissa, because I do think she's been put in situations that are distressing and upsetting, but I don't think she has the ability to regulate herself and then communicate calmly. It's always if she's emotional, the emotion drives all of her action. It doesn't seem like she takes a step back and calms down and then acts, if that makes sense. And I'm not saying that in any way to insult her because I have worked on emotional regulation skills for the majority of my time in therapy. I'm a very emotional person too. I can completely imagine myself if this was kind of this. I understand where she's coming from. I do. I just would prepare if I was going on a TV show. I would prepare all of my coping skills. I would try my best to go in prepared to be in upsetting situations and reel myself in, self-regulate, and then navigate them with a clear head, if that makes sense. I don't think she takes a step back and approaches things logically and calmly. It's always just how she feels she acts on it, which makes for great TV, but I do think it is not the best way to handle conflict. Anyways,
Melissa tells people that Erica's lying and they're going to see it on TV and go, holy crap, Melissa was telling the truth. Vienna says Melissa's too outwardly emotional. I would agree with that assessment. I think there's nothing wrong with it. I think it's too consistently with very little like calming down and then being like, hey, I know I got emotional. Like that's the issue. It's like if you're emotional, there needs to at least be a moment where you come to things a little bit clear-headed and you're like, hey, I know that I overreacted a little bit, but this isn't okay and I'm upset. Like there doesn't seem to be a moment that she takes a step back and then talks about it like with a little bit of distance and like just, you know what I mean? Anyways, Melissa says she isn't strong enough to do this. Honestly, people shouldn't be on this show. The liars will make it the farthest and she's not cut out for it. Michelle tells her to calm down. Erica feels good because now she knows she'll be safe and Melissa will go instead of her. Blake is feeling better because people are kind of like not really trusting Melissa as much, which means he's not in as much danger. He tells Melissa he wants to be solely platonic partners. She gets upset, not just about this, it's just kind of compounding. She says she feels like she has no one. I don't think it's like it's just this, but I think it was like the cherry on top of the betrayal and frustration she was feeling. She cries and Jake comforts her. She wants to go home. Like she's so close to self-eliminating, but he wants her to stay because he needs votes against Casey. It's like, I don't know if you've ever seen this meme, but it's like somebody was like, don't kill yourself. We need the streams or something. You know what I'm talking about? Anyways, my sister who listens to this, she'll know what I'm talking about. That's what it was giving. He was like, no, don't send yourself home. I need your vote. Graham says that it's the calm before the storm. Casey says he just wants Jake gone. Everyone's voting Jake. He's so excited to vote for Jake. Then Chris Harrison comes in and says the ladies are safe. Only one man will be going home. Everyone votes for one man they want gone. And I wrote in my notes, they should have put Casey's ITM after Chris Harrison's reveal because maybe most people wouldn't notice this. But it's like, I did initially think when he said he's so excited to vote for Jake, I was like, the men don't vote for the men. Like, that's not a standard. Like, that was something that Chris Harrison revealed after Casey's ITM. I guess it's really not, like, that important, but it did bother me a little bit for continuity. Erica tells Jake that she told Vienna and Casey she wasn't voting Jake out. So she goes to him and she's like, hey, I already told them that I wasn't voting you. Like, they know that I'm not going to vote you out. They need 7 votes for Casey to go. The votes they need / currently think they may have are Jake, Erica, Blake, William, Melissa, Ella, and Kirk. But they have to make sure they have these votes. These are just the votes they think they have right now. Erica talks to Kirk, says it's the last night to make a big move like this. In ITM, she says she'll do anything she can to keep Jake safe and for Casey to leave. Blake asks Erica to talk to Melissa. They need her vote, so Erica aims to manipulate Melissa. She's like, I need to forget she's crazy for the day. And I gotta get her vote. Melissa asks what Blake said about her, and Erica says that he does not want a romantic partnership with Melissa, just a strategic one. She tells Melissa that she needs to focus on the game. She's here for the money. Blake isn't mature enough for her anyway. And I love this. Erica is, I think, a good gamer. She has her issues with Melissa. She manipulated Melissa before, but when she needs to, she gives Melissa a pep talk. Like, I think Erica is good at knowing what to say, like what people need to hear. I think, not to compare her to Casey, but Casey just says what he thinks people should believe. He doesn't come from their perspective, you know? He just tells people what they should do based off of what he thinks should happen, not like meeting them where they are. Because if Erica was just talking to Melissa purely about what Erica thinks Melissa should do, it would be something like, stop being so dramatic, stop being so emotional. Like, she's not saying that. She's like, hey, he's not worth it. Like, you know what I mean? I think Erica's really good in that regard. Melissa agrees to vote for Casey. Casey says in a group outside of the mansion that normally the nice guys finish last, but tonight the bad guy's going home. I went to the store. I bought tomatoes just to throw them at my screen because of how much he pissed me off. I'm kidding, but imagine if I did that. It'd be such a waste of tomatoes. I would cook with the tomatoes. I would never just throw tomatoes at my screen. Anyways, I would also be way too afraid that, like, the tomato juice would get on my screen. Anyways, he tells everyone that he's grateful for everyone who's been there for him and how hard this has been for him. Like, completely, once again, centering himself in his feelings. And, like, this is really sick and twisted coming from the man who told Vienna to get over it about her feeling that she was emotionally abused by Jake. Because it's been a year. Because magically, after the clock hits 365 days, the trauma of being abused in any capacity just goes away. The way he said that really was giving, I know you think he emotionally abused you. Like, not like, hey, I know he was emotionally abusive. It was giving, like, that's how you view the situation. I don't know if he actually did. Like, I really don't like him. Maybe I'm reading into it, but I really don't like him. And this whole, like, this has been so hard for me, telling everybody he's so grateful that they're voting for his arch nemesis because of how hard it's been for him. It's sick and twisted. It's just, sorry. Anyways, Michelle talks to Vienna and Casey about the numbers, and she doesn't know where Melissa's head is at, where Ella's head is at, and where Erica's at. Two out of the three, we, the audience, know voted for Casey. Or at least that's who they told us they were voting for. They go off to figure out where the votes lie. I wrote someone, I think William. I don't know. I barely recognize him. It is William. After watching the two episodes, William comes, like, we see him later. The guy in the scene was William. I just genuinely had barely seen him and I forgot his name. But yeah, William tells Casey that he's toast, basically. He's like, people are voting for you. I don't know what you heard, but you're going home. And Casey gets mad. He says in ITMs that Jake is manipulative. Like, yeah, okay. Casey tells Vienna that he's going home. Casey then confronts Melissa. Erica interjects and says that they just want the game to be fair, and right now it's not. And he questions her intelligence in the ITMs. Erica's. He questions Erica's intelligence in the ITMs. And I hate him. Oh, God. It's like this level of, like, cockiness where it's like she wants me out. The only reason she could possibly want me out is because she's stupid. Like, this is stupid getting me out. It's like, no, maybe it's a better move for her, which I would argue it is. I think Erica is really smart game-wise. Vienna tells Erica she should be ashamed of herself. Going into the house, Casey said that she was one of his closest friends and he'd never stab her in the back. He's been protecting her this whole time. They didn't come in here to lose friendships. I don't care. Casey says if he goes and his friends voted against him, then he'll be devastated. It'll be tragic. Like, please pack it up. It's not that serious. And maybe you should get over it. Kirk tells Ella that if he votes for Casey, it'll be on his shoulders. Blake tells him that being afraid of that isn't rational because his position will improve if Casey is gone. Erica says that they'd have his back. Ella says Casey wouldn't have his back, etc. Ella says voting off Casey is more important than voting off Jake. Erica says this is most in control she's felt going into the voting. She feels really good about it. This is her chance to change the game. And if she doesn't take it, she deserves to lose. Then Jake and Casey have one last conversation. Jake says whatever's meant to be is meant to be, but he wanted to tell him. He doesn't know how things will fall. I don't know. It was weird. It was weird. Kind of a pointless conversation. Jake in ITM says he's banking on Kirk. He may be able to get it done. Meanwhile, Casey is in ITMs calling Jake a snake, says he wants to punch him, yada, yada, yada. I feel kind of bad for Vienna because Jake obviously was not nice, like was not the right partner for her. But I really do not think that she should have been with somebody like Casey. And I do know the one spoiler I do know couple-wise, I do know they did not last. I do not know how long they dated after the show, but they are not currently together. And I'm really happy because I hope she ended up with like somebody who's actually a nice person. He just seems mean. That's my opinion. And maybe he's grown. This was a while ago. Anyways, Kirk in ITM says he may have to be selfish. It would be smart to vote off Casey, but he's in his alliance, etc. He's the swing vote, and he knows that he's the swing vote. So he could be screwed, depending on the decision he makes. At the Rose ceremony, Chris Harrison says there's $250,000 on the line, but ironically, this game is all about relationships and answering the question, who can you really trust? I know he thought he ate. And you know what? He kind of did. I'll give him his flowers. He didn't write that, though. Somebody else probably wrote that. But that's amazing. I'm sure they used that in previews, promos. Like, if they didn't, they should have, because that's great. Anyways, all the women are safe. Graham and Michael have roses. Casey in ITM says he'll be mad if they keep that man around his girlfriend without him around, and how mad he is that they would dare to do that to him. Anyways, I really don't like him. That's annoying to me. The first person to get a rose is Kirk, and then Erica in ITM says, if Casey goes home, it will definitely be a blessing. I don't think Vianna and Casey are good people. They're all about themselves, and they're not even cute. People are letting trailer park trash and a tattooed guy run their lives. That's pathetic. They should not feel safe at all. They're not even cute part made me laugh. The trailer park tattooed stuff, unnecessary. But anyways, then the roses continue and William gets a rose, Blake gets a rose, and the final rose is between Jake and Casey. Chris Harrison says it was a close vote, the closest vote they've ever had in Bachelor Pad. It's dragged on, and I really thought they were going to leave it on a cliffhanger. But I was like, luckily for me, this was a decade ago, so I'll just start the next episode. But it ended on Chris Harrison saying Casey. And I'm so big brother brain that for a second I was like, no, wait, it could be a fake out. It can't be a fake out. Chris Harrison said many times, if you don't hear your name, you're going home. Like, there's no Casey. You will not be receiving a rose. Like, that doesn't happen. But for a second, I was like, oh my God, it could be on a cliffhanger. But the cliffhanger was that Casey got the rose. And that's how episode 3 ends. So Bachelor Pad episode 4 picks up with Casey getting the rose and Jake is going home. I wrote in my notes, this is worse than the Elizabeth and Kovacs never-ending stay in season 1. I'm really done with Casey and Vianna. Casey does get a little bit less insufferable now that Jake is gone. So at least I have that. But I do really hope that they leave. I mean, maybe they go home at the end of this episode, but I'm just saying. Anyways, moving on. Jake says a few things before he leaves. He says that they have a chance to do something really big and special. He thinks they're sending the wrong guy home. He encourages them, if they want to win, to step up and start getting the couples out. He says, it was nice meeting you, to Casey, and then says my apologies to Vianna and that he's forgiven her. And there he goes. Goodbye to Jake. Casey says, kick rocks. Casey says, Jake is gone. The devil's gone. He feels euphoric. That's how I would have felt if Casey went home. I would have been like, they vanquished evil. In Jake's exit, he says it wasn't about the money for him. His goal was to confront Vianna and talk about it, work out some forgiveness in his heart, and move on. And he says it's not enough money to do some of the things he's seen you have to do to win. He's not sad because he's not heartbroken. He's left heartbroken before, but he's just glad to be out of that crazy house. Ella wishes Casey got voted off. She's over him being around. Me too, Ella. Vianna thinks the group, she knows a lot of them, did it for her. And I'm just really confused. The next day, Vianna says the plan is to keep the people she wants to keep around are her and Casey, obviously, Michael and Holly, Graham and Michelle, and Kirk and Ella. The rest can go as they are expendable to her. She uses that word, not me. The competition for today is backed by popular demand, according to Chris Harrison, and it's the kissing competition. Casey initially says he wants to bow out. Vianna says she finds this to be a disgusting competition. Michelle bows out too because she's a mom and she doesn't want to be a bad example for her daughter. Meanwhile, Ella in ITM says she knows it's a controversial competition, but nothing will keep her from winning the money for her son. So she is not bowing out. Michelle is the only one to actually bow out of the competition. Michael is nervous to kiss Holly because he hasn't kissed her since they broke up. Holly is the first woman. So I explained this last season, but basically a woman comes out blindfolded. All the men kiss her, and then the woman votes on who was the best kisser, and then they switch, and like a man comes out blindfolded and the women all kiss them. So the first time you don't know who you're kissing, but then the second time you do, or the first time the men know who they're kissing and the second time they don't, and then for the women it's switched. So Holly comes out first blindfolded, and William doesn't kiss her much to be respectful. Michael enjoys his kiss with her. Most of the kisses are like really chaste and respectful because Michael's there. Blake, number 5, goes for it though. He really likes her, so he wants to go for it anyway. And like the thing is, it's nice that they're being respectful, but also she and Michael are not together. Like, they're not in a relationship. I understand it's awkward. And they, like, the thing is, they all care about him. So they're like, I'm not going to be rude to him. But it's like, you don't have to, I don't know. I don't know. It's like, I'm torn because it's like, I'm like, that's nice. to be nice to Michael, but you also don't need to. It's a game and they're not together. Blake kisses the women strategically. He says he kisses them each how they think they, how he thinks that they would want to be kissed, which I appreciated some kind of strategy in the kissing competition. Most of them just kiss like the best they can kiss. He's like, I went based on what kind of kisses I think they like. I kind of like that. I'm really torn on Blake because I really do not like him as a person. And I think he makes a lot of mistakes. But he is also very actively gaming in a way that I find interesting. I don't want him to win the game, but I'm enjoying him while he's here. I think he adds a good element to the show as a viewer. Sometimes you need like a villain. Anyways, not that he, I don't know. There are a lot of people who suck on this season. Vienna is nervous for the men to kiss her. Most of the kisses are very chaste as well. Blake does not try hard with Vienna at all. He gives a very chill kiss as well. Now the boys are blindfolded and the girls are kissing them. Ella's very confident in her abilities. Erica is as well. Also, I wrote, interesting tidbit, in ITMs before this competition, we see Erica say she's going to win because she has good lips that she maintains with injections every 6 months. And they used this exact ITM off face before she kissed Jake. Like, it was something about, like, I'm excited to kiss Jake. And then it followed with, like, verbatim, like, the exact same audio of her saying she has good lips that she maintains with injections every 6 months. Like, unless she repeated this and it was two different takes, it sounded the exact same, which is interesting. Anyways, Erica says with Casey she tried to get it over with because everybody thought Casey had really bad breath. Ella says it was bad. Holly says it was bad, but she had to kiss him no matter what for the sake of the game. Vienna looks away while the women kiss Casey. Like, what do you mean he has bad breath, too? Before a kissing competition, like, you know that it's going to be a kissing competition. There's something sinister about that man. Michael, when he is blindfolded, is just waiting for Holly's kiss. He immediately knows it's Holly kissing him. Holly says that kissing Michael felt normal and natural to be kissing him. Her kiss with Blake, however, that was different. I think it was, like, more passionate. She didn't want to stop. She just wanted to keep going. And they do kind of make out for a while. At least that's the way it came across in editing. Chris Harrison, then she's the last one to go. Chris Harrison, or Michael's the last blindfolded man to go. Then Chris Harrison says those who won did so with an overwhelming majority. And he announces that the winners are Ella and Blake. The dates this time are one-on-one dates, which is huge. And they can choose to go to give a rose on the date or not. But interesting, something that's interesting about this game versus other, like, other Bachelor franchise shows is if you don't get a one-on-one date rose on a regular season of The Bachelor or Bachelorette, you go home because there's, like, you know, you lose that rose, you're going home. Because other people are voted off, the rose just means safety in a different way. It's like you offering safety to somebody. But if you want to go on a date with them and not give them the rose, then, like, they have the ability to be sent home by the house, which is interesting. Anyways, Ella's date card says, your future is up in the air. She chooses Kirk for her one-on-one. There's a fancy car waiting for them outside. Then Vienna and Michael talk about the competition. Vienna tells him that Blake and Holly kind of went at it. And Michael thinks he's going to take Melissa on the date, that Blake is going to take Melissa, and he's happy that Blake will be out of the house. Melissa thanks Blake for carrying them as a duo. She thinks she's going on the date as well. He tells her he hasn't decided, and she's like, about giving me the rose? And she's mad. She says she can't believe he would even consider not giving her a rose. I knew where this was going. I knew where this was going. On the night portion of their date, Ella and Kirk get pizza and s'mores, and they have a nice romantic night portion of the date. Kirk asks about Ella's son. She says that his parents were divorced. Her son is with his dad, so they co-parent. Or maybe, I don't know, she didn't get into, like, the details, but his dad is still someone in his life. Kirk then shares that his parents were divorced, so he kind of knows what it's like to have a single mom. And they talk about what they would do with the money. He says he shares a story about how he moved into a house and it had mold, and then he had to leave college and he thought he was going to die because he got really sick from the mold. He feels blessed to be here, and his parents kind of helped pay a lot throughout the whole experience, and he wants to repay them. Ella shares that with the money, she'd put part of it into buying a house
for her and her son, but she would also use part of it to start an organization to help women in domestic violence situations because her mother was murdered when she was 3. Her mom was going through a divorce, and her stepfather shot her mom in front of her and her sister, which that was shared in her intro package, which I did mention at the time because it was a very heavy thing that she shared. It's a horrible thing to go through. Kirk in ITM says he needs the money more than anyone in the house, and hearing what she's been through, he wants to fight for her as well and have them win the money together. It's very sweet. Michael tells Holly back at the mansion that he was 100% sure it was over between them and that they'd just be partners in the game. But kissing her changed things, and he remembers now how good it felt to be with her in a romantic way. Holly says her loyalty in the game is to Michael, but they're not in a relationship, so she's open to other things. Erica gives Blake a massage. She's hoping to partner up with him and go on the date, since he's partnered with Melissa, and she knows that he doesn't really want to be partnered with Melissa. Ella gives Kirk the rose on their date, and then they go on a hot air balloon. It's very romantic. Blake's date card then arrives. Melissa and Erica are both hoping to get picked. His date card reads, "Love is a slippery slope," and he asks Holly. Melissa says, "That's fucked up." Holly says yes to the date. Then Melissa asks him to explain because he's made her a ton of promises today. He doesn't really give an answer. Melissa gets really upset. She kind of begins to spiral, to crash out, if you will, as the children say nowadays. Michelle in ITM says, "Some people wear their emotions on their sleeves, but Melissa wears her emotions on every article of clothing she's wearing every single day, including her hair tie and her panties, all of it." And I know she didn't mean it as a compliment, but like, that's so me vibes. Some people wear their emotions on their sleeves, but Melissa wears her emotions on every article of clothing. That's kind of beautiful. Like, I really do feel for Melissa. I really do feel for Melissa because I understand how mentally unsettling it could be to be, like, led on. I think maybe there's just the level of, like, awareness I have about the structure of the show where I feel like if I were to go on, like, a competition show or a reality show, I would be guarded and more prepared for, like, people to not be sincere in their behaviors. It still mentally fucks you up. But I don't know. I do understand where she's coming from. She does say, Michelle does in ITMs after she says this, that despite Melissa's emotional nature, Blake did string her along and mess with her head. And she thinks anyone with a heart would be reacting the same way Melissa is. Then Melissa to Michelle says that she just wants somebody to defend her. She calls Holly slutty. And then Michelle is like, "I don't really think Holly knew." And I really like Michelle. Like, I think Michelle is able to, like, empathize with Melissa and, like, but also look at things, like, logically and be like, Melissa is very emotional. Like, I like the way she perceives it and the way that, like, it could be very easy for somebody in that situation if Melissa's just emotional and she says something mean about Holly to, like, not in that moment be like, "That's not okay." But, like, Michelle did. She was like, "I don't really think Holly has anything to do with this. Blake is the one messing with your head," in a way that I really liked. Big fan of Michelle. Blake asks to speak to her. He, like, interrupts this, like, Michelle and Melissa conversation, and he asks to speak to her. And Melissa calls him a sociopath and says his reputation is trashed. He says in ITMs he's not surprised by her reaction, but he didn't think it would be this extreme. And he realizes that she's going to turn everyone against him, and he may have made a game mistake. Melissa goes straight into game mode, purely like her emotions are driving her. She begins to campaign for Blake to be ostracized. Obviously, he can't go this week because he has a rose, but she wants people to dislike him. Like, she wants to turn everybody against him. She also throws Holly's name out, and the girls defend Holly. Vienna and Erica, specifically in this conversation, are like, "I don't think Holly knew. Like, she was just as surprised as all of us were." Michael is kind of heartbroken and mad at Blake. Erica says, this is a direct quote, "Living with Melissa is like living on an emotional roller coaster, and I'm ready to get off." Honestly, I relate. I'm sure people would say that about me at some points in my life. People would be like, "Living with Emmy is like living on an emotional roller coaster." I had a roommate that we used to joke that, you know, the reason we had this joke was because I have an astrology book that's like The Astrology of You and Me, I think it's called, and it like describes your sun sign based on different, like, roles. So it's like the Virgo boss, the Virgo employee, the Virgo parent, you know, things like that.
and there's like a roommate section. And for Geminis, it was like living with a Gemini might feel like you're living in their carnival. So that was always a joke that me and my roommate had, that they were just in my carnival. Anyways, no one wants to help Melissa call Blake out. And then Melissa says, it's like all these people are his resources. And how do you get rid of a dictator? You have to eliminate the resources. Melissa tells Holly that she could have said no, and Holly says that it won't change anything now, and she wants to get out of the house. Melissa tells Holly to just tell Blake if she wants to be with him, and she's like, I don't want to be with Blake, like, for sure. Melissa says, I saw you flirting, and she's like, I flirt with everybody. And then Melissa asks Holly if she'd flirt with Casey in front of Vienna, which is just not a comparison, because you and Blake are not in any sort of relationship. It's not even like you started seeing each other and you were exclusively, like, we are in a romantic, like, there are like levels to relationships. There's Vienna and Casey who came in together, and then there's people who like partner up early on and they're like, we're together. Like, it's not like it was like Jackie and Ames who they, like, he literally went home when she went home because they were beginning to pursue something. Like, it wasn't even like that. Like, you and Blake have been very on and off, and he doesn't like you. That is simply not the same. And Holly is like, well, no, I wouldn't flirt with Casey because they are in a serious relationship, or you in a serious relationship. And she says it very calmly, and Melissa is really starting to lose me. Like, Melissa tells Holly that Michael is really upset. It's really not your place to comment on Michael's feelings. I think he should be the one to do that. Holly and Michael have a pre-existing, pre-existing condition. They have a history. They had a relationship. And if Michael wants to tell Holly something, he should be the one to say it. Why are you getting involved? Holly says that she's known Michael for 2 years. They have a lot of history. She trusts him the most in the house. And she's also like, and he broke up with me, so what am I supposed to do? Which is fair. Melissa in ITM says they should disqualify Blake for being a douchebag. Oh, if only it was that simple. She then confronts Blake while he's brushing his teeth, which was so funny. Michael, meanwhile, is emotional about Holly going on the date. Melissa is just mad and disgusted. She says everyone knows that Blake is a snake and a pig, and that Holly's pretending to be innocent. Her reads suck. Everybody does not feel that same way. They view you as, like, emotional and not thinking rationally. Like, I think most people are kind of in a Michelle middle ground where they're like, obviously Melissa is being led on and Blake's an asshole. But, like, it's an unfortunate situation where her reaction is just, people are taking it as very disproportionate, and so they're not believing her as much. It's like the girl who cried wolf, you know? Anyways, Blake takes Holly on the date, and as they're leaving, Michael is emotional about it. Melissa is just mad and disgusted. Ella says that if looks could kill, they'd be shot in the back of the head. Holly and Blake from Melissa's stare. They go on a plane for their date, and she's praying they're not going skiing. She's not happy about the date because it is in fact skiing, but I think she makes the best of it. She's like not that upset. She seems to enjoy it. She enjoys spending time with him. I'm good for her, because there are people who could be really upset and then they'd be miserable the whole time, but she makes most of it. They have a conversation like outside in the snow, and she asks about what he first thought of her, and he says that she was trouble, etc., etc. He liked her, but the whole history with Michael, yada, yada, yada. Michael, back at the house, is hoping that Holly will realize on this date that she wants to be with him. On the date, Blake asks Holly about Michael, and she says it's been hard to be around him. It will be hard in the house after this. And then we get an ITM of Michael saying that he regrets not confessing how he feels before she went on the date. Blake gives Holly the rose, they kiss, and they also, there's no fantasy suite card, but they do stay there overnight because it's like, I don't remember where they went, but they flew somewhere to go skiing, so they're out of town, so they don't go back to the mansion, they just stay there for the night. But I don't think they did a fantasy suite. If they did, I missed it. When they get back to the mansion, Holly is really conflicted. She doesn't know what to do because her date was great, but she feels bad about things with Michael. Michael is starting to fall for her again. He's not afraid to spend the rest of his life with her. They have a conversation. He tells her that she's irreplaceable, and she's confused because he said he didn't want to get back together before. And she tells him that she kissed Blake and he's upset now. And it's a very emotionally tense conversation because Michael's kind of whole thing was that he didn't fully trust Holly after she broke off their engagement. He didn't feel like he could propose to her again. And that was a really hard thing for him to get past. And now he's starting to fall again. And he's like, I wouldn't be afraid to ask her to marry me again. And she's with Blake. And Holly's conflicted because I think she says that deep down she knows they're not meant to be together. I think something is just missing for her and she can't verbalize it because there's nothing tangibly wrong with Michael and he's like such a good guy and she likes spending time with him and like on paper they're good, but I think emotionally there's a disconnect. That's my read on the situation. What do I know? Holly then is alone and she's really conflicted. She's overwhelmed. She doesn't know what to do. Some of her friends comfort her. She's really confused. She's really confused and really overwhelmed. The voting is standard. Chris Harrison announces the women vote for the men and the men vote for the women. At first, it seems that the consensus is Casey and Vienna are the easy couple to vote out. Erica is playing both sides because she doesn't love Casey and how he's behaving, but she also doesn't really want to upset him in case he like doesn't go home. Casey tells Kirk and Ella that he needs the money for his grandma. Like he's just fully groveling at this point. It's really pissing me off. I really can't stand Casey. I'm sorry. I'm no, being a hater is annoying, but that's just where I stand. I do not like Casey. Kirk then pulls Casey to talk individually, and in ITM says that he doesn't like how Casey acts like he's everybody's best friend. He can't be as loyal to everybody as he's saying that he is. A friend to all is a friend to none, if you will. Casey and Kirk talk. Casey tells him that he can just control Ella's vote. Casey says everyone's voting for William. Like, just tell Ella to vote for William. You can control her vote. I do not like Casey. Melissa says she's voting for William. Kirk tells William it's him or Casey, so he should do something. William recognizes that he's expendable because he doesn't really have the numbers, and he kind of tries to campaign, but not really that hard. Peace and love to William. He really didn't fight that much. Holly and Michael spend most of the cocktail party time together, and Michael is kind of still upset about her kissing Blake, and that upsets her. She is like, you had 3 months, and she doesn't know if it's just the show, and Michael says that this whole experience has mended the hurt from the breakup, and Holly is conflicted because there are days she misses him and wishes they were together, and then other days she's glad they broke up. And she knows she has a lot to offer somebody else. Guys are unsure where their votes lie. The consensus was Vienna, but they're like, maybe we should do Melissa. She's really not helping herself with the emotional stuff. Melissa doesn't know what's going on. Michael tells her that she's safe because at that moment he thought she was. William tells her that he voted for her and she starts to panic because Michael had just told her she was safe. People weren't voting for her. And now she hears that she has one vote against her and she's like, I'm going home. Graham tells Michael to tell Melissa he voted for Erica. Graham's like, just tell her you voted for Erica. Blake goes to vote and Melissa's like, I need to make sure he's not voting for me. She approaches Casey and is like, we need to make sure more people don't vote for me. Michael's like, a lot of people already voted for you. Like, a lot of people, I'm sorry, I was wrong. A lot of people voted for you. Then she tries to rally the rest of the votes, figure out who hasn't voted and who they voted for. And Casey tells her he voted for Erica. He says in ITMs that this was a lie. He just didn't want to upset her. They are all voting her up, but he told her he lied about voting for Erica. The rose is in order. Graham gets a rose, then Michelle gets a rose, then Michael gets a rose, then Vienna gets a rose. So Vienna is not going home. It's between Erica and Melissa for the women and William and Casey for the men. The last man to get a rose is Casey, which means William is going home. And I was upset, not because I care about William. Honestly, the day Casey goes home on this podcast, I'm going to be so happy on this podcast. I'm going to be like, thank God. Thank God. If he doesn't until the end, I think I'll cry. But I have faith. I have faith that they're planting the seeds for the eventual elimination to be that much more satisfying. Because there's no way that they didn't edit this to have people dislike Casey, right? Anyways, the last woman to get a rose is Erica, which I was really happy about, which means Melissa's going home. And like, peace and love to Melissa. I hope the rest of, like, I hope she's doing well. Michelle says that Melissa's not cut out for this game. Blake screwed her over and hurt her. And generally, I really like Michelle because she has a very level-headed take. A lot of people are like, Melissa's crazy. She's too emotional. But there is like a middle ground where it's like, Blake did mess with her head. Melissa also just didn't know how to, like, regulate and self-soothe and, like, manage her own feelings in order to then participate in the game calmly and, like, in a way that would want to keep, that would want to make people keep her around, you know? So feel bad for her, but I am not that upset that she's gone. I think Michael is playing a really good game, so I would be happy if he won. I like Holly as well, so if they won as a duo, I would like them. I'm still voting for Erica, but I really just don't know if she has a chance at winning. But I hope she stays around as long as she can. I really like Erica. Like, I find her strategy really interesting, and she is generally funny. Sometimes her ITMs are a little like, ooh, I wouldn't say that. Like, it did not age well. I don't know how offensive that was back then, but that is kind of gross now. But generally, I like the way she approaches the game, and she is entertaining and funny in the ITM. So I like Erica. I like how she's playing. I want her to stick around, but I don't know if she has a path to the end. Honestly, there aren't many people that I would be really upset if they won. I really don't want Casey and Vienna to win, because I do not like Casey. I have nothing against Vienna. Graham, I don't particularly have any feelings towards. Like, most of them, honestly, I don't. Kirk and Ella, they seem lovely, and they had a very nice bonding moment, but I just don't see a path for them. The thing is, there's so much left of the season still. Like, there's not over half the season. There's 3 episodes left, but, like, it's a seven episode season. So, like, a little bit less than half the season left. I don't know what's going to happen. So I don't really know. I think Michael and Erica are my favorite players in terms of what I think they're doing. I would be really happy if Michael won. Or Holly. I like Holly too. I really like Michelle as well. I'd be really happy if, like, she and Graham won at the end. I don't know anything of Graham, but I really like Michael. So I really like Michelle. So I'd be really happy if she won. But yeah, those are the people I'm rooting for. I'm excited to keep watching. Thank you so much for tuning in. It really does mean a lot. You'll hear from me next week. Thank you so much. Have a great week.